You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Hey, this is Jay Baer from Convince and Convert, author of the new book, Hug Your Haters. And one of the best ways to get your hands on this book and to see me speak is to register right now for Social Brand Forum 2016. Join me, Jenny Diedrich, Joe Palizzi, and more in Iowa City this fall. Register now at socialbrandforum.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? Today's guest is Suzy Batisse. Suzy is the founder and CEO of Poopery and is an expert in entrepreneurial intuition. A serial entrepreneur, she created an exponentially growing enterprise worth $300 million without borrowing a dime or enlisting a single investor. Today, Suzy teaches other entrepreneurs the feminine approach to business, how to harness intuition, body intelligence, and create energy to achieve a natural flow state of success. Suzy, welcome to On Brand.
Hi, Nick.
Now, I am so excited to have you on here because I believe we had an episode about a year ago of our podcast where one of our guests was talking about a brand. As I was giving you kind of the rundown of the show, I said that we'd close with a brand that has made you smile recently. And we've sort of come, I'm trying to think if it's for the first time in the history of the podcast, but we've come full circle because someone's brand that made them smile was Poopery. And it was after, I believe, I'm trying to think if it was the holiday, the Christmas, the Santa videos that were online, but that was the specific example. But I think anybody who knows of your brand, that's probably something that you get a fair amount, I would say.
Yeah, we get it all the time, and that's one thing that we're totally proud of is how much people actually embrace and engage with our brand. That makes me happy. My heart sings to hear that.
Yeah. Well, and it's this might make our listeners smile, but I have to be very careful how I say this and then qualify it quickly. I will say that my office right now smells like Poopery, but it's not for the reason that those would think that I'm not up to, and that my office is not the bathroom, but rather your team sent over a great care package of all of your different scents. And actually, in talking through this, for those that don't know, and actually, I've never heard anyone, I've just always kind of known what Poopery is. For those listening that may not know, what is it that Poopery is?
Oh, such a great question, Nick. Poopery actually is a before you go bathroom freshener or toilet freshener. You actually use the product that's made with all natural essential oils before you go to the bathroom, not after. So you simply spray 2 to 3 sprays, 4 to 5, depending on what you ate last night, into the toilet, go do your business, and there's no odor. It's actually proven to be more effective than any odor neutralizer on the market.
It's pretty amazing. I have to say, you sent me the care package, and then it very quickly got distributed throughout the restrooms in the house, so I had to go kind of recollect them because and I'll redistribute them as well, but I wanted to be able to reference your unique packaging, which has evolved over the years as well, and it was just a fun thing to get into. And I have to say, the packaging, you know, you think that, you know, branding and marketing has changed, but I think that so many, you know, create unremarkable packaging that kind of you know, fills a very basic need, and you know, they want to get it on the shelf, and it's that's the extent of its job. But in looking at this, there's really no detail that has been missed on this packaging.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. We spend a lot of time and take a lot of pride in our packaging. And our goal is to have something that externally is and looks as good as what's internal, what's inside the bottle that you can't see. So I love that you're attracted to the packaging.
Well, and it's interesting because you talked about the concept of the business itself. And I guess I should probably back up to that, because how does someone have that idea?
Well, it involves a bathroom and a stinky husband. And actually, the story is my brother-in-law posed the question, can you trap bathroom odor? And I thought, God, that's such a fascinating question. And my background was with essential oils, just as a hobby. And I just very arrogantly said, I can do that with oils. And it took me about a year, but I was going to prove my point. But I really became obsessed. This idea was so alive within me. It took me about a year to formulate it. And one day, Nick, my husband walks out of the bathroom. He was kind of over all the testing. You know, it's like, oh my God, this stuff, it's never going to work. What are you doing? One day he walks out of the bathroom and he says, oh my God, we're going to be millionaires. I said, what? He goes, do you realize you just got rid of the smell of bleep?
Right. And
really fun day.
Well, and, you know, I think it's interesting because I teach branding also, and we oftentimes talk about the idea of onlyness, you know, that we are the only brand that does X. And it would be easy to say, okay, well, there's only one Poo-Pourri, but even you noted, you know, it is a category that there are other things that try to do this. But what would you say is what sets you apart?
Well, what sets us apart is that we're a natural product that's actually more effective than the chemical solution that we're using right now. And that's what's highly unusual. And I wanted to create that because I've used natural products for 15 years, and I just was okay with subpar performance, going, oh, well, it's natural. Oh, well, it's natural. And when I was creating the product, I was like, no, it needs to work better than the chemical competition. And that is really, really, really hard to do. That's the difference, Nick, between a good product and a great product.
You know, as I was holding the bottle in my hand, I do see down the side, it's the no synthetic fragrance, no parabens, no aerosol, no alcohol, no formaldehyde, all of this. But you've even made that, you gave that an attractive lead-in with a bathroom limerick of, there once was a lad from Roan, whose odor he'd rather disown. Now he's taming his poo by anointing the loo, and now happily sits on his throne. So that's even cool. Well, I think though, you also kind of gave. I think that's a great lead in to what many would write off as, oh, that's the natural message, you know, that nobody's going to read. But you gave it, I think a great lead in and kind of pulled the audience into that.
Absolutely, and that was, I'd never wanted to lead with natural, because that wasn't going to grab the consumer. And I know that, you know, it's like, oh yeah, it's natural, whatever. What I wanted to do is create an attractive brand that you're engaged in. And the bonus prize is that it's natural.
You know, that's and really...
That's a surprise and delight. Like, oh my God, and it's natural. Like, that's the surprise that I wanted to create.
Well, I think that's really interesting, having, you know, studied and other brands in the natural category. It's interesting that you say we didn't want to lead with natural, because most in that space, in that category, do. You know, that's what they're kind of shouting from the rooftops. And it's interesting that you've led with this very carefully constructed, fun brand.
Yeah, that's such a great point, Nick. Natural isn't a brand.
Yeah.
Natural is a symptom, or it's like a... it's one of the characteristics of the brand, but it's, you can't bank your whole company on that. So I would really say you need to go back and really personify and almost humanize who your brand is. And that's when it starts taking on a life of its own. And the natural is a characteristic of that brand.
I love that point, because I think that it's missed by many, and especially if you look at the growth in that category too. I think for some, it can be kind of almost a brand crutch of that's what we are. And you have to have other aspects of your story as well.
Totally, because then you just, it's just a sea of natural. And I, for me, natural is like my minimum bar. So it's not even a big deal. Like, that's what I require. So within our company, that's just a bar. It's like, oh, this is what we do. And we're just not going to use that. It's a philosophy. How about that? It's a philosophy of ours that is just one of those integrity points we live by. And once people engage with us that we're light and fun and, you know, they're happy about using the product, they have a great consumer experience, then we can go, oh, yeah, and there's no chemicals. How fun is that?
Yeah. Well, totally. Well, and that's my own experience, too, because the natural was kind of that secondary surprise, too.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So in thinking about kind of your story, did it ever in your year of experimentation and maybe as you were kind of thinking about this potentially being a business, a brand, did it ever seem like a hurdle that, hey, even if I solved this problem that I got dared into solving, how would one go about telling a story around something that, I mean, we don't always talk about. This is something that very few talk about.
Yeah, man. Totally. It was taboo 10 years ago when I started. It was a really taboo topic. And thank goodness, like I said, it took me almost a year to actually invent the product. And I was having conversations with my family and neighbors, and they would look at me like I had four heads, like, you are not going there. And just by that working with intuition, I kind of said, wow, I'm going to have to really approach this subject from the side here because people really aren't loving this direct conversation. And that's when I realized I needed to use humor, that the way that we've always talked about uncomfortable subjects, comedians are famous for that. They come in with humor and then suddenly it's okay to talk about it. And I remembered looking at families thinking, why do we only tell fart and poop jokes within a family unit? Isn't it true?
Yeah.
Like, it normally is just within your family, but you always laugh. So I really just put two and two together. And when I started testing, I started realizing the receptivity. People were so much more open with the subject matter when we laughed about it. They were familiar with laughing about it.
Well, you know, I was thinking just that because I thought, you know, you talked about it being taboo, and I thought, you know, except at home, you know, it's what we all share, and we're you know, usually in most of our families, we're pretty glib about that. But yeah, you get outside of that kind of inner circle, and it goes from zero to very taboo quickly. I think that's an remarkable use of humor, and I mean, especially when you look at, you know, brands left and right, try humor, some win, some foul out. But if you look at kind of a strategic use, I think when you have something that is taboo, and of using it to diffuse some of that tension is pretty strategic, you know, not to make things more complex. Do you remember what were some of the early places where you kind of spice things up with humor?
Well, every single angle. What I really knew, there were a few kind of tent poles that I set up. Number one, I knew it needed humor to address the topic, to even talk about it. Because when I walked up and told people I wanted to talk about bathroom odor, there was a wall put up, okay? It was like, no, thank you. Secondly, I knew that the product had to be beautiful and really feminine. And I didn't like those ugly metal cans sitting on the back of a toilet. I wanted something that was really pretty. And third, I knew that the product had to be more effective than its chemical competition. But also what I knew is that I love the juxtaposition of the beauty. Like, you're drawn to this beautiful bottle and you pick it up and then you kind of go, oh, wow, it's a toilet spray. Like, I would have never guessed that. So I've always loved that juxtaposition, which is why you see Bethany in our videos. She's this beautiful, sophisticated girl talking like a sailor, right?
Right.
So that juxtaposition has always worked really well for us. Well, and for the brand, that's who she is. That's who Poo-Pourri is. She is the beautiful lady that can go to a party, but man, you know, she starts loosening up and she's going to tell you about her bathroom habits.
Well, it's interesting too, because you talk about juxtaposition and it makes me think, you know, of what makes an interesting story, right? And, you know, boring stories are where things happen in a very linear, expected progression, as opposed to having that contrast, having juxtaposition, having things that surprise the reader, the audience member. And I think, you know, like you said, the beautiful can, the beautiful bottle, your spokesperson online, and then what they're talking about. I think that juxtaposition is attention getting. I also have to think that the name, you know, did that name come to you quickly, or was it one that you went through a lot and this has to be the one?
We actually went through a lot. My husband first wanted to name it Trap a Crap. And I said, oh, my God. He was like, do you get it? It traps the crap. I'm like, I get it, but, like, really? So we had it actually takes a village. You'll hear me say that, but it really, really does. So my sister-in-law calls one day, and she says, Poo-Poo-Pourri, you know, like hip, hip, hooray. And I said, hold on. Poo-Pourri, like a play on potpourri. And then I immediately knew. I had a full body sensation, you know, the chill bumps. Everything, like, this is it. Okay, we're done.
Well, and it's funny with Trap a Crap. It sounds like the you talking about knowing right away that it needed to be, because of the subject matter, needing to be beautiful and feminine. And to me, I think that Trap a Crap is probably what a guy would name it. You know, I see like a big, you know, like kind of the antithesis of your packaging. Keep thinking of like things you buy at the hardware store, you know, big, big, blocky, awful orange letters, Trap a Crap.
Yeah, totally. And we actually do have a Trap a Crap now, but it is in our boutique line. And it's more of a, it, you know, oh my God, you should see it. It has a toilet, like with antlers on the toilet and camo. It's really ridiculous. We love playing on that line of ridiculous.
It, you know what? Shows that I needed to get everything out of the box. I am holding in my hands Trap a Crap right now.
There you go.
Never leave a trap, an odor trapper for any crapper. Wow. No stone unturned here. And yeah, I'm going to Instagram all of this and we'll embed it in the post as well. But the packaging, I mean, well, and I think of that too, that, you know, it's easy to nod along at things like brand touch points, but everything from the name to, I mean, you haven't, I think it's easy to write this stuff off as, oh, we'll get someone to be in the video. But all of these different aspects, it's all very carefully considered, but also very consistent and, you know, I guess the irony of this, the name of this podcast being on brand, it's all very on brand. Do you find it, I mean, and to hear you say this, it all sounds so logical. But as you've grown the business, has it been difficult to, speaking of trapping a crap, trapping the brand, that essence there as you've grown the business? Because it's seems to me, I mean, I remember we had a bottle in the previous iteration of the packaging, because it's one of those things that, you know, you see and you have to, we'll talk about that in a bit, that you have to talk about. But it has evolved. Has it been difficult to capture that?
Yeah, it has and it hasn't. Whenever it becomes difficult to stay on brand, as you say, Nick, is when we forget about making decisions as her, as Poo-Pourri. That's when we get off brand or off track. And we usually don't go very long without someone going, hold on, she would never do that. We actually have conversations in our building, in all of our conversations, like, what would she do? What would Poo-Pourri do? Like, it's very easy to make a video because we know her so intimately. We know what she will say and we know what she won't say. We know how she acts in the world. We know what a shipping box looks like, what she would do. And we really make sure that we honor who she is in every piece of our business. That's our goal. And that's what I talk about. Like, your business really is an alive energy. When I believe we start going wrong, Nick, where we start going wrong is by only thinking rationally and strategic. If she said that, then this would make sense. We'll get more sales. But what happens is your brand starts deteriorating over time.
That's, you know, I as I consider this, I don't know if I've ever heard of anybody doing that. You know, as someone that teaches branding, consults on brand strategy, I you know, you often hear of personifying customers. But I think that this is incredibly valuable to personify the brand. And if, you know, it's a mystery to anyone, I think that when you said in the middle of all that, you talked about honoring who she is. And I think it's easy in a lot of organizations for the brand to get lost. But if you do personify, I think it's easier to remember that.
It's so much easier to remember, and it's easier for your for me, for the village that takes care of her to remember. I'll share with you quickly a story. This is an exact conversation I just had a few months ago with one of my salespeople. One of the chains wanted to put us in a location that wasn't ideal for us. And it was actually a really bad location. And I said, we're not going to do the deal. And the salesperson was really traumatized. And I said, if Poo-Pourri were your daughter and somebody wanted to take her on a date and they said, you know what, we're going to set her back in the kitchen because she doesn't deserve to be on the main floor, would you let her go on that date? And she goes, no. I said, well, look where you're letting Poo-Pourri go. Look where you're letting her be showcased. And it immediately registered.
So I love that, too, about helping everyone in the village understand. So if I'm a new employee, a new member of the village, and it's my first day there and I'm getting up to speed, how do you communicate? Because this is, I get it, I love this idea, but to someone that doesn't know, how do you communicate who she is to them? Is there a written document? Is there a video? Is there a biography? What does that look like?
Yeah, well, we're working on that, all of that right now, because we have found whenever we grow that we have to spend a lot more time. Right now, we're still passing on information like our old Native American forefathers did, like by the campfire, going, let me tell you about her, who she is. And, you know, Nick, have you ever sat down with someone and all of a sudden they're talking to you about their friend, and an hour later you're like, I want to meet this person. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information that you can really gather when you talk about, you know, the company as being a person. Like, here's who she is. Our employees start to intimately know her. So it's very easy to speak as her.
And it's such an interesting step, too, because sometimes you talk about those campfire stories. And I think it's really interesting hearing this from the founder of the business, because so often that campfire story is the founder's story, is kind of, here's the hero's journey. And I'm sure, you know, that's a part of that. But still, this is a really interesting point of focus. And then on the other end of that, you see, you know, the customer focus of, these are the personas that we serve. And you hear, you know, a brand like Lululemon names them, you know, that, and, you know, you hear Amazon, Sears kind of historically leaving a chair open for the customer. But I think personifying the brand, making them, now I'm doing it, a part of the business is pretty unique and pretty powerful too. So
it is. It's extremely powerful. We don't label any of our consumers. I don't even know who they are. What we do is we make the voice of our brand as loud and pure and strong as we can, and whoever's attracted to it happens to be attracted to that brand. So we do everything pretty much opposite from B-School.
Which is, and I think, well, and I think with the practice of branding too. I mean, I I teach a little bit, and I always say I'm probably the most different. I'm different from all of the other business courses here because it is more about things like voice. So how do you communicate voice internally with so many, especially in the era of social media? It's not, you know, voice used to be, okay, what did our agency's copywriter, what words did they put in our mouth? As opposed to today, you have, you know, not just ads, but you have that voice coming to life on social media. How is her voice consistently conveyed across all of today's channels?
Well, it's the same way. Just our whoever's speaking as her knows her so intimately, they know exactly what she would, you know, would and would not say. For example, if I asked you, Nick, if you had a brother or a sister, I said, you know, would your sister say this? Like, you're going to know yes or no, right?
Yeah.
You'd be like, she would never say that. That's so out of character for her. Once you know and personify your brand, you know her that intimately, and you know what she would and wouldn't say. So there aren't any rules per se. It's just, you know.
Right, right. So I think you answered that by with the kind of talking about the, you know, they're not necessarily being rules. Is there some sort of manifesto that kind of sets the stage or something for someone new that is still getting familiar with who she is?
Yeah, you asked that earlier and I sort of went off on a tangent. There is. We're actually right now making videos. We have weekly lunch and learns where we bring food trucks in and we spend an hour talking about the brand, really doing the campfire. Here's who she is. We also have in our brochure, you'll see her personified, who she is, who Poo-Pourri is. And then we have things like our Poo-Manments. That's our, you know, our 10 sort of things that we live by. One of them is we only do epic shit. that's the first one. Do epic shit. You know, we don't do anything that's not epic.
I would expect nothing less of your company.
Sorry if you have to beep that.
No. I'll let the iTunes robots decide if I have a clean podcast. I think I'm still safe for work. So I love the idea of the Poo-Manments and this lunch and learns too, where you kind of those brand campfires. I think, and that's probably easier to do when you have personified your brand, because I think sometimes it's just kind of this other, this afterthought, this checklist that we have to, you know, this style guide that we have to follow, as opposed to something very close to the business that we have to honor as well.
Totally.
Now, the videos, are those, I think I first saw my first one, again, Christmas of, not this past year, but the year before that, your spokesperson, had those videos been around previous to that?
Our first video was in September of 2013. That was Girls okay. Don't Poop.
Yeah.
So, no, they had not been around, but... yeah, we started making videos, and oh my gosh, we're going to film our Father's Day video next week, and just wait. I think it's going to be our best video yet. I really do.
That is, again, I'll embed some of these videos in the show notes. That is, you set your bar high. It's again, it's following your first Poo-Manment, though. So
that's yeah.
in thinking about it, this is. Is and you said her name earlier, so I'm sorry to keep calling her this your spokesperson. But is she your brand personified? I mean, she sort of is, but is she? It's going to sound kind of strange. Is she the she?
She totally is the she. when we were casting, like we absolutely knew. You know, that Bethany was our, that she was her, you know, the British aristocrat sort of, you know, persona with super prissy, but talks like a sailor, you know, it's like she's going to shoot it straight with you. And there's always, whenever you meet those people on the streets, like, my gosh, you love them because you're like, they're so real.
Yeah, and but that's why too. In talking about casting her, I was just thinking who would be probably the opposite of who you'd expect to hear this from. And yes, she's very crisp British, and it's well done there.
Thank you.
In thinking of kind of raising the bar, and thinking, you know, as someone that has been as embedded in the brand and the culture and the story and all of this fun stuff and so much laughter at these taboos. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, down the line of your new packaging here. Is there some recent piece of it that has made you laugh out loud? Because I got to think that internally, that's one of the hardest things as someone that has seen so much of it and has been with the brand from the beginning.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the script for our Father's Day video had me literally rolling over. And it's pretty hard to do because I'm pretty immune to poop jokes, you know, after 10 years.
That's I think what I'm trying to say is, since you've probably heard and thought of everything, what poop joke still gets to you?
Exactly. We're pushing a level in this next video, which I love. I love pushing one of the underbellies that we have, Nick, you know, because a brand has so many layers, but one, I always call this an underbelly. One of the underbellies is we have a philosophical question sort of floating, and it's, if we can get people to talk about poop, what else can we get them to talk about? What other way can we liberate and create freedom for a person? That's what she wants to do. That's what Poopery wants to do, is to liberate people.
Yeah, I love that idea of liberating
That's
people.
That's their mission.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Because now you can talk about Poopery. You can talk about poop. It's okay.
So I also have to, you know, I kind of thought of a question that I don't often ask, because, again, being so focused on the brand side of things, but I'm thinking about the people. You talking about it takes a village. And not everybody, you talking about poop jokes, not everybody hires for poop jokes. And just in thinking about how interesting your business, your brand is, does that feed who's a good fit at the organization?
Totally. I still am the last interview. By the time someone gets to me, I know they're a technical fit for a job and they're pretty much a cultural fit, but I do that last interview to make sure they're a part of the family. And humor is a big part of us in the interview process. You know, can you automatically, spontaneously, you know, deal with this balloon that we're throwing at you? You know, what's your favorite curse word? You know, what's your spirit animal? Like, we really ask these questions just to see how well people play. So it's not necessarily humor, but are you playful? Because she is very playful, and we need people that like to play.
Well, I love that concept too, because we've had, you know, folks from, you know, we've had Tim Washer, who's a trained comedian who works for Cisco, which is obviously a big B2B server company, and, you know, needs some help loosening up. And, you know, we've talked with other guests too about the role that humor plays. And I think sometimes there's a stigma, and I even kind of played into that a little bit by, you know, kind of positioning it with poop jokes. And I think sometimes we think, oh, I have to be funny. And I love that concept of, you know, seeing how people play and being playful. And I think that that is a much more reasonable expectation of, oh, I got to be funny. I got to, you know, I could see someone kind of choking at the idea of, I've got to make sure I'm a quote, funny person. And I love that idea of play, because I think that that's how you can connect with people. And those people are the ones that I'd imagine that you want on your team.
Oh, yeah. You have to be playful, because that's all we're really doing here is playing. I always tell people, like, I don't really believe in that whole work-life balance thing, because I believe that if you absolutely love what you do, there is no separation in your work and your life. You know, it's just all rolled up in one.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Yes, as I think balance is a little bunk. So I am just amazed at how fast our time has flown by. As we start to wrap, I have a couple of questions. What is with all of these things, I feel like I've learned so much, and I can't wait to, as nerdy as this sounds, I can't wait to transcribe the show notes. But you have built such an interesting brand. I'm looking over here at the box with the stink-free guarantee stamped on it. And if you could tell someone, some entrepreneur out there, you know, it's your city slickers moment, your one thing, what would be the one thing related to brand building that you would impart to someone?
So first of all, if they just started the company, I would tell them that they know more than they think they do, that they are the mother, the birth father, the parent, and they know this brand more intimately than anyone. No outside consultant's ever going to be able to tell you to always follow your gut and your intuition, and you'll know absolutely what to do.
I love that. You know, that's. I also loved the kind of the parenting parallel as a parent of five kids. There is something, and like you, in a few of your examples, talking about her and talking about her as your daughter, and you want her in the corner. And I think it is kind of that same sort of care that we should have for the brands that we build as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So as a brand that makes so many out there smile, is there a brand that has made you smile recently, Susie?
Yeah, there's a brand that I really am obsessed with. It's called Moon Juice, and they're out of LA, and everything they do, not necessarily a humorous smile, but I'm so impressed with the quality of the products, their packaging, how simple and clean. Like, I just love that brand. So whenever I get a package in from them or get an email, I just kind of smile like, yeah, okay, they're doing it right.
Well, and that's because it isn't always a humorous smile. Because I think, yeah, there's that kind of, yep, they did it right. I always give guests the out to if there is a kind of shaking my head smile of someone that it could be a negative smile too. But that's great. Moon Juice. I've not heard of them, and maybe, who knows, by mentioning them here, we may be setting off the same chain reaction that led you to the On Brand podcast.
That would be fun.
So I have so much that I am going to include in the show notes here. I want to encourage folks to be sure to head there, and we'll include videos, photos, packaging, all of this great stuff that we've talked about. But Susie, as we wrap up, where would you tell folks to head to learn more about Poopourri?
Well, you can go to poopourri.com, POOPOURRI.com. And you can find some information on our website. We have a chat on there that you can ask our Poo team any question that you have, you know, any information that you want. We love sharing ideas.
Awesome. We will link up to all of that in the show notes. Susie, thank you for being on brand with us.
Thank you, Nick. How fun.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. Recently, Jenny Dietrich gave a shout to our show featuring Jay Bear talking about customer service as the new branding. Jenny, thanks for listening, and we'll see you both at this fall's Social Brand Forum. And a reminder, if you like something on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. As noted, you can find links to everything that we talked about over at branddrivendigital.com. You can also subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, click that star, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. And our final reminder that On Brand is brought to you by the Social Brand Forum. This premier digital marketing experience takes place September 22nd and 23rd in beautiful downtown Iowa City, Iowa. Learn from experts like Jay Bear, Joe Polizzi, and others right here in the heart of the heartland. Listeners of the show get the best rate when they register using promo code ONBRAND at socialbrandforum.com. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.